The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson, Lugo, and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 29. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And I am your other host, Charles Stunning.
Hello, internets. It's the new year. This is our first podcast after the new year.
Yeah.
It's the best 1997 yet.
In case the listeners weren't aware, Schaefer actually lives perpetually in 1997. It's like 51st dates, but Drew Barrymore was
It
cuter.
Was the golden age of man. Boogie Nights came out, and that's the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head to tie us to 1997.
It's been about roughly about 30 days since we've been in the same room at the
we've
same time.
We've all gone to rehab and we've come back clean.
Yes, right. It has been 30 days since the last installment of our monthly podcast.
Right. Yeah. And
but now we've relapsed.
Into the podcast?
Yes.
All right.
This is
I need a 12-step program to wean myself off this podcast.
Hi, my name is Charles and I'm a podcaster.
Hello, Chuck. What's up, guys? How you been? Look at you, you scraggly beard motherfucker.
It's not scraggly. It's actually very well
groomed. It's lush. You have a very lush beard, actually.
Thank you so much.
I'm actually quite envious.
I'm going to grow a beard in February.
Jesus Christ.
I appreciate the compliment. I hate it.
That's right. You actually love shaving.
No, I don't. I don't love shaving. I love being shaven.
Oh.
I love being clean shaved.
I see.
I don't like having this.
I just had a vision of somebody like
somebody,
some like servant like shaving Schaefer's face.
The next upcoming rapper who emails me and says, "Hey man, I'd love to do a track with you." That's going to be the internship program that they're going to join. They have to fly to New York on their own dime. Shave me delicately. I have very sensitive skin.
Sure. And
there's classical music playing in the background.
A warm towel.
And some point during it, I will freestyle the worst 16 you've ever heard into your iPhone, and we'll call it a day. But thanks.
Why do you have a beard? If you hate it so much.
The last time I grew a beard was 8 years ago.
Right.
And I didn't have fond memories of it. I know that I've been very adamant about staying clean shaven since then.
Right.
And I thought that since the beginning part of this year, I'm not doing any shows or traveling, I would enjoy seeing how the other half lives. The other half being those who do not care about their appearance. And I thought I would give it. Okay, look, that's not fair. There are a lot of very handsome. And look, I've become kind of a beard creep because I didn't know how to maintain a beard or where to cut it or anything. So I've been like creeping on guys on the subway and checking out their beards and trying to take notes of how everybody maintains them or trims them.
Please tell me you harass them.
No, I just look at them.
Thank you.
Usually too long.
That was
sarcasm. Past the point where they catch
Please
me.
Please harass no one. The bearded, leering. The non-bearded. Just leave everyone alone.
But I find in most. In a lot of, I think beards look nice. I think they can look nice if they're up kept correctly. Yeah. But I find so many people in New York City that I see with beards, they look like they've given up. Like it's an excuse to cut one thing off of the list of personal upkeep. And I didn't want to look.
You know, I sport a beard, or I have been sporting a beard for quite some time now. And I have to admit, that's how it started. I just stopped shaving because I stopped caring. And then somewhere along the line, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I actually look really good with a beard. And so I've actually been quite on top of the upkeep and the sort of personal grooming it takes to have a beard. So
I have something that I would like to add as a young lady.
Oh, please.
I do like a beard.
Huh.
I'm big about the beards. There's something about it.
Yeah.
Even if they're, because I understand it can go the other way. It can be too meticulous.
What about a hobo beard?
Is it a purposeful hobo beard?
No, it's more like an ironic hobo beard.
I'm sorry. You got to take care of the beard.
All right.
It's got to be like a good beard. I'm not talking about like Ian McKellen and King Lear beard. I don't like that beard.
Right. Because
that beard's like crazy.
Sure.
But you also
don't like the sort of, you know, meticulously
manicured if we're gonna go the opposite of that, whoever that character was in the Hunger Games with that beard. Like, that's too far.
Right.
Like, somewhere in between. Like, both of you, I'm gonna give you like A+ approval on your beards.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are bearding well. I want to get a picture and post it on the internet and just be like, this is how you beard.
Well,
I'm just
really happy finally just kind of given up any pretense that you just want to be like me, Schaefer. So
you think that's what this is about?
Yeah, I think it's very brave of you to really just kind of acknowledge that you just want to be me.
All right, listen, jackass.
And,
you are currently promoting a show.
Right.
Your ongoing show at the Tank Theater.
Sure.
And you are using press photos that were taken years ago.
No.
When you were clean shaven.
I'm not using
press photos. So people look at these things and they go, who the hell is this guy?
I didn't know. Those press photos were not things I sent out. The whatever reason for, I don't know why, but these sites who are getting these press releases, they're being sent photos that have been approved by me and the theater that have been taken within the last few months. And for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me, they're mining my personal site or social media for pictures that were taken 15 years ago.
Are you not? So you're not sending press ready photos with your press releases?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, that's peculiar.
It is. It was very peculiar. I'm like, that's okay. Like today, Theater Mania just posted something on their site, which is great. But they're using a photo that was taken of me 15 years ago.
Remember 15 years ago?
No!
I don't!
I don't either.
I think 15 years ago, I had just turned professional magician. Like, literally, that was the year I decided to start getting paid for what I do.
You say it in the way like a person turns into a werewolf.
It's not unsimilar.
Okay.
It's not
a magician
unsimilar.
Bit him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when the moon
I'm
was
cursed.
Next full. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cursed.
See, this is why I left as soon as I saw David Copperfield, because I didn't want to get bitten. I didn't want that fate.
Actually, if he dies, then all of the magicians return back to normal.
Oh, basically. it's like Wolfsbane.
Yes.
Too bad he's immortal.
Right. Womp womp.
Fall that out. Placenta.
So, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. So don't fucking turn that shit around on me, son. It's not, I didn't fall off the fucking marketing truck. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. I will take back the snark I gave when
you
said that you were accusing me of trying to be like you.
Right.
And I will refrain from using it back when I talk about your narrative one-man show about all of your mental health issues. I'll keep that.
Fair enough.
I'll keep that one in my pocket.
Fair enough.
Okay.
See, I almost thought it was going to be a kinder, gentler internet, and then it
nope,
and then
fuck
it really
that.
Wasn't.
Nope.
It was just
nope.
a more like white hot anger internet that's not yelling.
2015 is the year of the stick that I hit you with. That wasn't very clear. I should have picked something like fist.
Or
very clear either, actually.
Or the snake, because then you could threaten him with snakes.
Oh, right.
Like,
and then,
I do. Come on.
How does that still happen at home? Because you two live together.
Yes.
We don't live together.
No, hold on. No,
we are roommates. Can we?
He gets
words
so
mean
mad
things.
About this. He gets lost in the semantics. It's very weird.
The two of you non-romantically share an address.
Yes.
Yes.
That is so much longer than saying you live together.
Yeah. Words mean things!
All right.
Oh,
you guys
God.
Are roommates.
Right.
Do you still menace him with the promise of snakes?
All the time.
It's an empty threat. She's
constantly.
Used it. She's the roommate who cries snakes all too often.
Oh, my God. Now you're all like...
Yeah,
oh, now
care.
You feel all... You have the sense of security because you think it's a joke.
No, it's an empty threat.
Oh, she's going to shatter your psyche.
No, it's an empty threat.
The thing is, I'm waiting for the right time.
which will
when
be
when he
never.
Does when he does that last thing.
Like what?
I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet.
How is this asshole as a roommate anyway?
Do we really need to talk about this?
Surprisingly, never lived with him.
I know, isn't that weird?
How is that surprising?
I've pretty much lived with everyone that is important to me.
Over the years, I have never even given him a spare set of keys to my apartment. It's probably a good idea to have a close friend nearby.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never given him a spare set of keys.
I've never
asked
him. Because
I always thought, well, you shouldn't. That's the thing that I would ask you. Hey, will you hold these keys for me in case I need them someday?
Yeah.
I've never done it because I always thought that if I did, one day I would come home and he would just live with me. Like,
one day
he'd be like, boom, things have changed.
No.
And he would start squatting here. I mean, not here, at my apartment.
Right, in studio.
Not in the studio.
Not in the studio.
Well, we all have keys to the studio.
Right.
Right.
Because
Wait, you have keys to the studio?
Yes.
I don't have keys to the studio.
Anyway, back to this.
That's because you lost it.
How is Nelson Lugo as a roommate?
We don't need to talk about this.
But it's interesting. Look, Gotham is really good. We're done with that.
How is
Nelson Lugo as a roommate?
Well, we have been roommates. Since September. And I have not murdered him yet, so that's good.
We barely see each other.
It's really true. The three of us, because there's another young woman who is our roommate. She does not live with us, apparently, because of semantics. I live with her, and I accept that fully.
You're not uncomfortable saying that.
I'm not uncomfortable with that, because I am just comfortable as a human.
Words mean things!
Anyway, the three of us share an abode, and we all have very different schedules, so we rarely see each other.
Very rarely.
So it was really funny, because we were getting ready to come over here to the studio to do the podcast, and suddenly all three of us were in the hallway, and our roommate, Kara, give it up for Kara, she's great.
Whoop, whoop. What up, Kara?
What up, Kara? Was like, oh my God, we're all here. And it's like, yeah, we are. But even when I am home, most of the time no one knows that I'm home because I'm just like in my room.
Right.
It's like hanging out, watching anime, doing that thing.
Yeah, actually, it's basically three
people. Well,
you're
like all the way on the opposite end of
I'm in the east wing of the mansion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the so far away.
But we're all very private people. Yeah. And when we're at home, we tend to just keep to ourselves.
Yeah, I threw a party once, but they weren't there, so I felt it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I rarely see anybody.
It's not that they weren't invited. It was just like, there's going to be a lot of people here, and I'm already uncomfortable, and I know most of these humans. I just don't know how Nelson and Kara are going to take it. They're both at work. Cool. Done.
Yeah, so as a roommate, I'm perfect, because I'm
absent.
Absent.
That's excellent.
I've never heard and rarely seen.
I'm glad to hear such a good review of you as a roommate.
But to be honest,
as opposed to having firsthand experience.
There are a couple times where like he doesn't have to work. It's the weekend and maybe I don't have to work.
Right.
And I'll walk into like what I consider the studio space, which is like the room that's not the living room, but is like this free for all room. Like my desk is there and Nelson's desk is there. And there's some boxes from Kara. And I just like walk in holding my coffee and I'm like, so how's life? And it's kind of like the podcast without Schaefer, and we're all nicer to each other. Kind of how it is.
But some
Saturday, if you're not working, come over, have coffee with us. And by have coffee with us, I mean watch me drink all the coffee, because no one else drinks coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
Highly caffeinated.
I'll have a pot in me before I come over.
Good. Well, you can split a pot with me.
Terrific.
We can like put straws in the pot and just drink like we're Clint Barton.
Crazy straws.
See, she understands coffee in a way that you never have.
I don't drink coffee.
I know.
Don't fucking judge me for not drinking coffee.
I'm just amazed that you're still alive.
Wait, what?
You know what? I actually am amazed that he's still alive as well.
But see, you're amazed that he's still alive.
That's nothing to do with coffee.
A reason that's probably different than my reason.
Well,
mine is that he doesn't drink coffee, and yours is probably something
really
more sinister.
Based on all the shit that's happened to me, not drinking coffee is the reason you're wondering I'm still alive?
No, mine is, that's like the Joel Schumacher version.
I'm pretty sure.
Mine's the Christopher Nolan version, where it's grounded in like a gritty reality.
And it
mine's
probably,
much fucking darker.
It probably involves me putting poisonous snakes in
my
bed.
Mine would be like the David Lynch version. It is fucked up and confusing, and you'll just walk away feeling uncomfortable.
Oh,
I want it to be the Cronenberg version, where it doesn't make any fucking sense.
But it's still weird, creepy sexual.
Is that his daughter?
Me, I wanna,
are we... He's sexing his daughter.
I want to say a thing, and everybody's not going to care because I just told this story on Facebook like half an hour ago. So
go.
But I want to tell it again. So Francine Lucid Dream,
right.
One-time guest of this show.
Right.
Yeah.
And the producer of The Pink Room, which is a series of David Lynch-themed burlesque shows.
Very right. cool.
She today texted me freaking out because she was walking on the street and she saw Julie Cruz.
Who's Julie Cruz?
Julie Cruz sang the song Falling from the Twin Peaks soundtrack and appeared in a number of episodes as the singer at the Roadhouse. She had blonde hair.
What's the Roadhouse?
It's a location in Twin Peaks, a television series from 25 years ago that you didn't watch.
Got it.
Okay. So she texted me freaking out because Julie Cruz, I'm also a big Twin Peaks fan, obviously.
Obviously.
Julie Cruz, furthermore,
right.
I already have Twin Peaks on the brain because I've been rewatching the series because...
You're gearing up for the show.
In a week, yeah. The fourth annual Miss Twin Peaks pageant, which is produced by The Pink Room, is happening and I'm hosting it. Just to make the connection a little deeper, Julie Cruz mm-hmm. was born in a tiny little rural Iowa town called Creston.
Oh!
Which is 20 miles from a tiny little rural town called Corning, which is where I was born and grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And... all of these things happened while I was picking up my Twin Peaks deputy uniform from the tailor who sewed my patches on the shoulders, which I am currently wearing.
Yeah, you're currently wearing. You'll see it in the show selfie in the show notes.
And today, well, not the day you're listening to this, but the day we recorded it in the past, today is David Lynch's birthday.
Wait, today, the day that this drops or the day that we're
the
right
day,
now?
The day that we're recording it.
Like, speaking. Right now, my butt is sitting on David Lynch's birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I just wanted to clarify that because time travel's very
That's like a weird,
sometimes.
Like, 6 degrees of Twin Peaks thing going on there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So
I guess if you're a fan of Twin Peaks and David Lynch,
which
all of that meant a whole lot to you.
And nothing to Lugo. That's why I never get to talk about David Lynch on this show.
You can talk about it. I'm just going to drool and tune
out. I watched
out.
Dune.
Ooh.
I did it.
You're dead to me.
Why? The spice will flow. Whatever. Don't care.
She's dead to you because she watched Dune?
No.
You like Dune.
I
am going to put so many snakes in your bed and half of them are going to be poisonous.
Wah, wah. No, you won't.
I know where the pet store is in this neighborhood.
They don't carry snakes.
Mm-hmm. How do you know? You're allergic to
they
everything
do.
Pet.
They sell very small snakes that mm-hmm. you can feed to your really big mice.
Crickets and frogs.
Crickets and frogs.
Done.
All right. I think that's all the catching up.
Oh, we didn't catch up at all. We talked about my beard and David Lynch.
Yeah.
What have you been doing,
what
Dick?
What are you up to, dude?
Shit. I just clocked in. 108 hours of Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh my god, I hate both of you so much.
I finished it. I am also holding my head and rolling my eyes, Chuck. Let's just keep this directed a little
yeah.
bit. I know, but... I know. I'm just going to take a nap.
I am just a 24th level elven rogue... with a specialty in archery and artifice, and who's a wisecracking curmudgeon.
I am crying over here. That's how bored I am.
You asked, asshole. Don't ask the question unless you want to know the answer.
Chuck, what have you been up to? I'm sure that the answer to that is going to be much more interesting.
Well, I don't want to brag or anything, but I've been hustling, guys. I've been running... been running rampant. Afterbirth Monkey's done a lot of gigs. Pretty much all of my gigs in January have been Afterbirth Monkey gigs, which has been lovely, but has also been not very lucrative because comedians don't pay other comedians. It's hard.
Bleh.
Whatever. I actually just finished working on a spec for a feature horror film that I'm going to be in.
Oh!
Trey Cool. The working title is The Restaurant.
Spooky.
We did a read through. That was the thing we were doing that one day.
Oh,
that read through that we did
that
at
was a
my
weird,
apartment.
That was a weird day. I was coming home from a thing, And
I'm pretty sure it was work.
Probably. And I'm coming home, and usually I've come to expect nobody being around because it's that time of day.
I'm pretty sure I sent you like a message. I was like, hey, we're doing a cold reading, table reading.
Yeah, but I'm expecting like, you know, three or four people sitting around. I walk in. No. Not only is there like 150 people in that apartment, but there's like a camera that's shooting it. And there's like lights and sound equipment. And then I walk in and I'm like, this is the last thing I'm expecting to see. And so I'm a little like freaked out about it. Mm-hmm. And they all turn, and then she's like, oh, that's my roommate. And then somebody comes to me and says, hey, you want to read a part? And I'm like, no, not at all.
Which all that would have been left were the girl parts, because I was the only female in the house that day. So
hashtag
I read
patriarchy.
All of the girl parts. And I was good.
Of course.
I was the best. But I will be playing a character who's a waitress at the restaurant in the feature. But nice. We did a spec. Check it out. There will be a Kickstarter Indiegogo to help fund this movie. It's going to be really weird. It's like John dies at the end.
Do you get to die?
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to tell you. God.
Well, if it's a horror movie, a lot of people die.
You want to know the ending of a movie that hasn't been shot yet?
How? Yeah. Wait, is your role the pivotal end role? End scene role?
Lugo.
I feel like I don't. That's Lugo. Not the point. I'm just saying, I'm going to be in a feature.
I want to know if you die in the movie. That's a very simple question. How's that a spoiler? If it's a horror
It's a
movie,
very simple question, but it's also the wrong one.
Yeah.
You're the wrong one.
I know.
I'm just trying to explain the concept of it, where it's like farcical.
So you don't die in the movie.
But like
you survive.
Cult-y, God damn it. But like.
So you survive. You're the lead role.
And more importantly. My bandmate, Mark Robert Turner.
He's the killer.
Plays.
The killer.
A bad guy.
He plays the killer!
He plays a bad guy, which the whole spec is mostly him explaining the restaurant. The spec is great. The spec is fucking great. When it's up on Kickstarter, I'm gonna freak out. It's so good. Yeah. Also, I got to throw blood at him, which was awesome. And, but he's so like Patrick Bateman. But he's so, like, adorable and handsome and, oh, God, he kills me. He kills me. He's insanely brilliant.
That's how I feel like he is most of the time.
Just, Mark Robert Turner.
The Mark Robert Turner is adorable and brilliant and funny. But there's a little Patrick Bateman.
Oh, I'm with Schaefer on this one. Yeah,
little,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes eye contact hangs a little long and you're like, you've dismembered someone. I respect that.
And I helped.
You know, that actually reminds me.
It's going to be really dope, guys.
I saw a really good horror movie.
I guess I'm going to be an actor again.
Congrats. I saw a really good horror film not too long ago called The
Babadook. I already knew. We already talked about it. I know, and I already have nightmares because I listened to a section about it on NPR, and it was so terrifying.
It's this Australian horror film.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's my least favorite accent, so it would be hard for me to watch the film. Could I watch a dubbed version in English?
Nelson and I will dub it for
Shut
you.
Thank
you.
Fuck up.
Nelson will play the little boy and I'll play
so
the mom.
It's so good and so scary and so creepy. It's the first horror movie that I've ever watched that actually has something absolutely profound and insightful to say about the nature of love and loss and depression. And it is heart-wrenching and so fucking scary. I recommend it's got a limited theater run because it's considered a foreign art house film.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might not be a lot of theaters that are playing it. I know there's only two theaters in New York.
Nighthawk's playing it for sure.
Yeah. And the one in Lincoln Center is playing it. Mm-hmm. But if there's a theater in whatever town you are listening to this podcast, just go and find it.
I'm
and
pretty
watch
sure
it.
You can also download it for dollars.
I was gonna say,
if it's
playing at my favorite theater, which is Amazon Prime, then I would love to check it out.
Oh,
I don't think it's on Amazon Prime yet.
Crap apples.
Yeah.
I broke a Guinness Book World Record.
That's right.
Oh,
the longest variety show,
which oddly enough was not the Afterbirth Monkey Rapture variety show, which I always thought was the longest variety.
So what's the record? How long was it?
4 days.
4 days.
4 days nonstop.
Wow.
Mark.
No, but it wasn't just you.
No, it wasn't just us. Yeah. But I mean, I got a certificate, and they spelled our band name wrong, which is the best. So it was Ardor Birth Monkey for some reason.
Ardor Birth.
Ardor Birth Monkey.
That's funny.
Oh, great. But they're sending us another one, so we each get one.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully mine will be...
Who gets to keep Ardor?
And
who gets to keep Afterbirth?
Well, Mark took a Sharpie and fixed it, so... Oh. I know. I was like, I want that one. And
just like fixed. A psycho killer.
To be honest...
Calling you out, Mark Robert Turner.
Of all of us who actually would murder anyone, I'm pretty sure he would be least likely.
Really?
Or
he would be most suspected, likely. But least likely, because he pretty much feels
it's
bad
about
everything.
It's always the unsuspecting ones that are...
He's
that
a good first the... act ringer, then.
Yeah, he's the one that you're like, that guy totally did it.
All and, the evidence is pointing to him,
you're
and
like,
then he dies.
Find out his alibi is that he's been taking care of puppies at the animal shelter the whole time, and you're like, oh.
And you feel like a sucker because you fell for that red herring.
Yeah, he's the red herring. Baby, you're the red herring. You're not even listening, but I love you.
No.
I respect that about Mark Robert Turner, that mm-hmm. he doesn't listen to this.
I respect that about everyone who doesn't listen to this.
I'd like to send out a shout out to everybody who doesn't listen to this program.
Thank you.
Which is
for
basically
not
the
listening.
Entirety of the world.
I'm just spraying buckshot of shout outs into the ether that are landing on nobody.
Yeah.
The rest of you who listen, you're pretty cool too.
Yeah.
C. Muldrow, what's up?
Yeah. C. Muldrow.
Girl, you're cute. Thank you for your wrap up of our wrap up on Facebook. It was really cute.
Oh, she wrote a really wonderful wrap up of our wrap up, which
right.
I thought was actually really a really clever way to sort of twist it.
It was good. It was really good.
And she kind of gave us her wrap up while wrapping us up. It was mm-hmm. great.
Can you create a podcast? Because I would listen to your podcast.
I would totally listen to C. Muldrow's
I
podcast.
Know, right? Yeah. It would be. Adorable. I'm calling you out, C. Muldrow. Make a podcast. Because I don't listen to enough podcasts, and that's
right.
a lie. I listen to all the podcasts.
I recommend you doing it, and here's the thing. It may seem daunting at first, but just remember this.
No one will listen
literally
to
anybody can make a podcast.
It's right. true.
If you need proof, just keep listening, because that's what we do, and we are still, after 29 episodes.
29 episodes.
2 years.
Oh, good gravy.
One additional
I'm sorry, almost
host.
3 years.
Almost three, yeah. Almost.
We are still.
Yeah. Are we gonna
like,
do something
like
big for our birthday
they
this year?
Brought me on to like help fix it, and I feel like I've just made it worse.
You're basically the baby that was added on in the sitcom to solve
lagging ratings.
Oh, my
God, I was
ratings.
The surprise pregnancy. Oh. It's like Junior all up in here.
You're like Sam from Different Strokes.
Yes.
Is that reference land?
You are.
We're in our 40s.
I'm in my 20s.
Okay.
Blood in the streets will never get along. Someone told me that I was a millennial the other day.
Are you?
I didn't think I was. And they were like, you were born in the late 80s. You're a millennial. And I was like, no.
You're more Generation Y than
Yeah.
Millennial.
But someone's like, no, Generation Y is millennials. And I was like, I hate everything that you do as
no,
a person.
No, millennials are like
whoever
late
90s. That was. I forgot who you were, but I'm mad at you still.
Yeah. No. Millennials,
yeah,
late
no.
90s.
No, or like early 90s.
Yeah.
Well no, because early 90s is still Generation Y.
No,
because I looked at them and I was like, Reagan was fucking president when I was born. There is no way I get to be a millennial. It's not going to happen.
No, that's, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. No, that person was smoking crack. That's a crack baby.
Thank you. Yeah. Millennial crack baby. Go to hell, millennial.
Millennials
crack
don't
baby.
Smoke crack. They do Molly.
Or meth. I don't know. What are the young kids doing today?
I don't know. I don't speak their crazy language.
Can we wrap this up before we actually have an opinion on youth culture?
Speak
please.
Or their,
please.
For their kittens on the internet.
Please.
I just want a rocking chair and a porch.
I want that too. I feel like that's a totally normal
that's
hope.
That's why we need to start like, you know, living together, Shaver, because I want
he's gonna live with you.
Oh no, I'm gonna live with him.
Just
I'm roommates with you.
This is just a business agreement over here.
But with me, he'll use the big language. The big boy words, yeah.
What are you gonna like give him a ring and some flowers and sweet talk him and whatever?
I just might, Chuck. I just might.
Well, good. I hope you're just
well, someday
so
I,
happy.
Someday I may rent out the basement apartment to you in the house that I ultimately buy. That'll be the closest we're going
and
to
I
be
will
to roommates.
Write
I'll take
the,
it.
And I will write the theme song to that show.
It's already been written.
I also would not watch that show.
This house will have no windows. But it'll still be like three stories.
That's the name of the show. This house will have no windows. Tuesday nights on NBC. I'm writing the theme song, asshat.
Can we go to break now? Because we've devolved.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is Matt Storm, the creator of Crash Chords, a site that began as a music review blog and has since grown into two podcasts. Matt Storm, welcome to the program.
Yay! Yay! I'm so happy you're here. I squealed inside.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
No, we know.
I'm sorry that it's turned up to 11.
We know. No, it's not just that. It's just... we get like an email from you every month basically asking us when you could be on the podcast.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that was like a Facebook message thread. Not even an email.
Oh,
it was direct access.
I got a certified letter.
Yeah.
Two episodes into the Epic Podcast, Matt Storm saying, I want to be a guest on this show.
I used a stamp and everything.
I think I got a postcard once.
So there we go. He's contacted us, requesting to hang out with us.
It's been, 2.5 years of podcasting that we've basically actively ignored him.
Now, in that time, all three of us independently have been guests on Crash Chords.
Many times.
I just want to say it. I barely have any say on who we bring on the show, and you have been on my list from the moment I became the other host.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet, Chuck.
We ran out of ideas for hosts.
So I love you too, Nelson. It's fine. I will continue to love you regardless of what you will.
Matt,
that's pretty much what knowing Nelson Lugo is like. I will love you no matter what you will. it's why it hurts so much to live in my home now.
Matt, tell us a little about Crash Chords, about how it started, and the two podcasts that now exist under the Crash Chords banner.
So the origin story is actually kind of interesting. My girlfriend at the time, Mary, who's still a good friend of mine, was in college, and I just finished school. She started a young adult blog for her writing course, and she's like, you like music, you should make a blog. You'd be good at it. And I was like, meh.
Was this back when, everybody was just blogging about everything?
Pretty much. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I can write about music. I like music, and I listen to a lot of it. And so I did two posts and then ignored it for a year. Because I didn't know what the hell to do.
You and everybody else who started blogs back then.
Which is the whole thing with blogs.
Yeah.
And then I went back about a year later, and I was going through a tough time. That said relationship wasn't going as well, and so I was looking for something else to do. And I started doing short write-ups of music videos that I really enjoyed, describing the videos, putting quotes, my favorite line from the video. And then that built out into some album reviews. Some good albums came out that year that I really wanted to talk about, so I reviewed them. And it started to get a little bit of steam. My friends liked it. And then my friend John, who is a co-host on the Crash Chords podcast, sat down with me one day, smacked me upside the head, and said, you listen to 30 podcasts. Why aren't we making a podcast? And so I was like, because I don't know how. He's like, we just do it. And that's why the first 4 episodes suck. No, I'm being a little...
4.
At least it's not the first 29.
Have you heard the first year of our podcast?
Anyway, go on.
So it was a little rough in the beginning. We tried doing news stories, but I realized I didn't give a shit, so why would the audience care?
Yeah.
And so it became the framework eventually of announcements, album, review, and then topic. When we have a guest, we interview the guest. When the guest comes back for a second time, we've decided now, or in Nelson's case, a third, which I know he wants me to mention, we will have the guest pick a topic about music that they want to talk about. If they can't think of something, then how music relates to them, their art, what they do, that kind of a thing. But it started just as a blog that I didn't know what the hell to do with, and like a lot of things on the internet, I floundered until I found my footing. I listen to music mostly the way people play video games, read books, watch movies. Like, I can listen to music in the background, but I prefer taking it all in. I love when an album has a narrative, because then there's a story to follow too, which is fun. But I listen to music very actively. I'm not as much of a passive listener. Mm. And that kind of what drives me to keep doing it. And now I have two podcasts, one where we review an album every week, and at the end of every month we bring on a guest. In fact, the day this drops, we will be having Keita St. Cyr make her second appearance.
Oh, I love
her. She will be bringing a K-pop album called Crush.
Yes, she will.
By a band called The Number 2, the letter N, the letter E, the number 1. 2NE1.
Took me a second.
Yes. And so when you're done listening to this, go listen to that, because I've already plugged this on that.
And that's the mothership Crash Chords podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Then there's the sub one is the just straight up interviews, right?
Yes. That's... Crash Chords Autographs. I started mostly for the selfish reason that I like to interview people, and I think I'm okay at it. So.
Yeah, you are great. No, I agree. Actually,
you do
have a very casual interview style.
Mark and I had a really good time when we were on the show.
I'm glad.
You're also very prepared. You research your guests, and you have questions laid out, so you have kind of a guideline of where you're going to steer your guest.
Yeah, once we started having a guest every month, I was like, maybe I should put some reins on this, because it was a lot of, like when Nelson was on the first time, we didn't even let the guests back then pick the album, because we didn't know if they would want to. And at the time, Nelson hadn't really expressed something that he'd want to bring. He's like, yeah, I'll review what you guys do. And we ended up reviewing one of the worst albums I've ever heard.
Holy crap, that was awful.
Flying Lotus. And so I think it was after that episode or the next one, Steve was like, maybe the guests should pick the album. This way, at least, they have some interest in it. And then going forward, if it sucks, we can all breathe it in together.
Right.
Because then they can totally punish you with Katy Perry.
Which you did.
Which we did, and it was the best day ever.
The Afterbirth Monkey episode reviewed.
Katy Perry.
Prism.
Which
I don't know if you still have residual Stockholm Syndrome feelings of Katy Perry.
I actually like her album, I think.
I totally do. Is her album really that bad?
It's not,
it's actually really, it's really great.
It's the problem
but
is
being
it's,
trapped talking about it for about 8 hours.
It's not the worst pop music out there, that's
for sure. It actually
isn't.
I love Katy Perry, Twitch Twitch. I love her, Twitch Twitch.
But going back to what Schaefer brought up about autographs, so the idea for that was, I know, honestly, it came from being in the burlesque community and the nerdcore community and being relentlessly friendly to a ton of rappers who I developed friendships with. Schaefer, Michael Kill, Kool Z, Tribe One, and I was like, hey, I could talk to these guys on the phone. Hey, I could record that. Hey, I could make that an interview. And so it started the first episode. The reality of it was the first interview I ever did was I also write for another site called Broken Records Magazine. A good friend of mine from high school named Scott Voweiler started it. It's mostly an online magazine. It used to be in print. And I wrote a few articles for them. When I wanted to write one of the articles, I'd mentioned that I loved a band in high school called Head PE. They were kind of this reggae, hardcore mishmash that nobody liked except me. But they were making a big comeback with a brand new album, and he had a connection. So he hooked me up with their bassist, Mark. His name is Mark Young, or Mark, M-A-W-K is how he spells it on the album, because he's a dick. We talked about it. It was actually pretty funny.
So he's from the East Coast.
He's from the East Coast. And so I had that interview, and we originally tagged it on as the topic segment of the main show. Instead of having a topic, we had the interview.
Yeah.
And when Mark shared it with his Facebook friends and his fan base, that episode blew up. And I went, I can get an audience by having a guest every 2 weeks. Maybe there's something to this.
Yep.
So I started making ways to do that. And since then I've had, I think the next episode will be the 14th interview. It'll be out it'll already be out by the time this airs, and it'll be with Sulfur, the other half of the Thought Criminals.
The Thought Criminals, yeah.
Already interviewed Michael Kill, and me and him spent an hour talking about Nintendo and then a little bit about music.
did he bum you out?
Who, Sulfur?
Yeah, no, not Sulfur. Yeah, his spirits are usually pretty high. Yeah. Michael Kill.
Oh, Michael Kill. No, he was actually
the Eeyore of nerdcore.
He was.
If you're not using that, start using it. Also, if you're not listening to this, please continue not listening to this.
He was actually in pretty good spirits. I think one of the most fun interviews I did, just because she was so energized and it was a blast, and tough to keep up with, was Christy B. I love her, but she, like, and I made the mistake of mentioning Scott Pilgrim because of the song that you guys were on.
I could have given you some
notes. That became the entire interview.
And so, but she was the longest, I think, clocking in at the closest to an hour. I usually try and keep it around 45 minutes or a half hour.
Aww. Yeah, she's hard to keep up with. I could imagine interviewing her over the phone. She's hard to keep up with. She's hard to keep up with in person because it's thought, impulse, thought, impulse, thought, impulse, thought. And I'm old. My synapses fire kind of slowly. I'm trying to like respond to like three thoughts back.
I feel like she is who I would be if I hadn't moved to New York and let it just like embitter me.
I
always feel that. I'm always like, oh, you're what could have been for me.
I got to drink with her in Virginia when I was down there doing a show.
Oh, I bet it was awesome.
And it was the most incredible night
so
of my
much.
Life. And
I love her.
Also, I was in so much pain the next day.
Because you couldn't keep up.
I could not keep up with Miss Christy B.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. And that interview, your interview with her was great.
Thank you. And then also I had a milestone recently, episode, I believe it was 12. Steve's Better, my co-host on the main show, is much better at regurgitating episode numbers. We'll bring up an album and he'll go, oh, that was episode such and such. Like
he's like
Rain
the Rain Man.
Man
of podcasts. Yeah.
But I did my first in-person interview for autographs with MC Lars.
Oh.
A couple months back, and it aired I think last week. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. We did it in his tour van after his show with MC Chris and Spose. And it was great. It was cool to talk to him and do it in person. And I think I'm going to start making moves towards getting more mics for the other podcast and try and start doing more in-person interviews for autographs as well.
So how frequently do the autographs episodes come out?
They go up bi-weekly because I want to still have a life.
How frequently do the regular Crash Chords episodes go up?
Every week.
Every week.
We've missed...
So you are releasing 6 podcasts a month.
Yes. I'm trusting your math, but yes.
What is wrong with you?
A lot.
Yeah, actually, I have a follow-up question. Why do you hate yourself?
I have a follow-up question to both of them. It's not even a question. Don't let them get you down. Just don't. I was going to try and frame it in a way that it was a question, but don't.
Oh, good cop.
Very good cop. She's cuter than you guys are. I'm sorry. And I love you guys.
Also, who's your favorite podcaster?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Let's get to it.
No. We're answering this now, motherfucker. We have money on this.
Nobody's going to have.
No, no.
Nobody's going to be happy with the answer.
No, fuck you. Fuck
no,
you.
No, one person will.
One of us will be.
No, fuck you. If you don't settle this right now, we will knife each other.
Then this can be my show, and I can have a third show.
Fuck no. This is barely holding on by a rusty steel thread.
So anyway, you were talking about the frequency
right.
of my
no,
podcast.
No, answer the question. Which one's your favorite podcaster? Go.
Podcaster or person, because it's different.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh
I want to know.
Just made it next
or,
level.
Or interview
yes.
subject.
No, hold on. First of all,
does that make
who's,
a third?
Who's your favorite person who's been on Crash Chords? Go.
Out of the people in the room or ever?
Ever.
Out of the people in the room.
Wait. Oh, I wanted it to be ever.
I will start by telling you guys openly, they admit constantly who their favorite guest is.
And that is?
Nelson Lugo.
Hey!
Wait, who says this?
Everybody says it.
Oh, you know what? Those guys' names are now forever going to be the other guys.
It's okay. They're already the other guys.
Lugo was their favorite guest?
Well, the thing about...
What, do you live there now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Honestly,
I'm just fucking charming as fuck, motherfuckers.
Oh, right.
No, they mentioned Lugo a bunch before you both had been guests because he had been twice before you guys were guests.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So it's a little uneven
wait,
scale.
Wait, fuck you. So I win by a fucking war of attrition?
Wait. No, they
liked you so much that they keep bringing you back, motherfucker.
All right, right.
You
no,
just
right,
won
I'll
a victory,
yeah.
and now you're
yeah.
poo-pooing your own
but,
victory.
But I will say...
Excuse me. He wins and then he questions it. Nelson Lugo.
that's the title of my biography.
That's his biography. If I'm going to continue to answer these
please,
questions,
yeah,
these
please.
Crazy
yes,
questions.
Please.
The album of a guest that's been talked about the most by default, Nelson, is out because he was only rapped once. You lose.
Oh.
They love the Afterbirth Monkey record, but Steve said on the episode, after the episode when Schaefer was on, and now I get to embarrass him on the air, Steve said, I like the Beastie Boys, but I wish we reviewed Schaefer's album because it's way better.
Oh, yeah, my episode we did Check Your Head.
And Steve thought it was a little dated. He likes it. He appreciates what the Beastie Boys did. But after hearing Sick Passenger and me never shutting up about it, he loved the narrative. He loved how personal it was. And so...
Have you actually reviewed Sick Passenger yet?
No. So I wanted to do a written review, but again, I got lazy.
Yeah,
and wasn't writing.
You got lazy. 6 podcasts a month.
I try to not bring guests on with their music and review it on the
spot.
Well,
no, that's not fair.
Because then it's not a review, it's an interview.
And I'd rather talk about your music regardless of where the album stands. Not every album's going to be perfect. Honestly, our 5-star rating system that we use is an imperfect system. I would give 5s based on emotional connection, but Steve and John never gives 5s. I think they've given like 2 because they're more meticulous about their choices.
Yeah.
Whereas I really, if I connect 100% to a record,
yeah,
I feel it's a 5 in my book. We've also written articles that you can find on our site about how we rate individually.
Yeah, but I think like an emotional connection is maybe one of the most important reasons to enjoy a piece of art.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. I feel like
it's that... pretty important criteria.
That, yeah. Like that experience of
you,
it is
you guys, I'm actually going to take you to task right now.
Bring it.
Wait.
What?
No, we're not done with this because he said... Favorite guest,
right,
favorite
me.
Album,
right.
And now we're going to get to favorite person.
Well, I'm going to
say... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, settle down, Lugo.
What favorite person was that was not a criteria.
Anyway,
I'm
Matt
gonna,
Storm.
I'm going to amend favorite person to prettiest person, which is Charles Stunning.
Oh, that's condescending.
She's upset with me. You know you're my favorite, Chuck. I can't tell them that.
Yes, you can.
Too late. Nelson's the
you,
favorite
you
person.
You actually can. We're already very aware
that she's the favorite.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, we know. We fucking know.
That's why you brought
anybody
her
who's met the three of us, she's their favorite person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's already, like, stellar, but in a room with Schaefer and I, the two curmudgeonly assholes, she just shines like a brighter jewel.
Like a little diamond.
Yeah, compared to us, you become like a different species.
I'm the thing
you're
at
like
the end
cherub.
Of the picture of, like, the ape coming.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like you guys at the back just like looking sad about
right.
Batman and me just like rising like a fucking phoenix.
Internet, make that happen. Make an evolutionary scale with all of them featured somewhere in it. Do it,
please.
It will be my wallpaper on my computer.
Oh my
god.
God.
That's a good
with
idea.
My,
for
with,
a photo
so,
shoot
with my luck, I'm
going to
be like a zygote or something.
Essentially, congeniality.
For Lugo.
Talent portion.
For me.
And I guess I won the swimsuit competition. I am unsure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's how that worked out.
They actually harmonized. I'm
I know.
Impressed.
That was great.
You're
well, going to
take
why,
me to task now, Nelson?
I'm going to take you to task now because yeah. I listen to Crash Course a lot.
Oh, thank you. I still, like, I don't know how to take that. We've been getting fan mail and stuff recently and, like, actual artists
yeah,
get coming back to us. And it's like. Oh,
own
people
it.
Actually give a shit about what we do.
No, own it. Fucking own it.
Take that.
What's that feel
it.
Like?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. I listen to every one of your episodes.
You do?
You do.
And C. Muldrow.
Basically, basically, what we're doing now is we're basically having every listener
as
be
guest.
A guest.
Yeah.
And then we'll have no more listeners. Because there's only 12 of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Now we're 11.
Not all listeners can become other hosts.
That's true.
You guys at the Crash Course do a thing that pisses me off.
Okay.
What?
In that, in the same way that I can't listen to video game review commentary podcasts.
Okay.
Because they have been playing and thinking about video games for so long, they have lost complete connection with video games actually being fun. And they talk about it in a way that's so technical and so jargony that they will score things lower because of like some pixel count rather than the experience. You guys, maybe not you so much because you're the emotional heart of the podcast, but like those...
screw you, other guys.
Yeah, screw you, fuckwads. Their technical jargon... about every single song and every minutia about music makes me hate to want to listen to music the way they listen to music.
That,
I can't imagine.
Hold on. I don't think that's a problem with. Yeah, that's not fair. That's not them.
Yeah.
You just don't speak music.
Yeah.
They're not overdoing it. It's just a language you don't understand because you don't
oh,
really
no,
like
no.
music.
No, it can't be.
Yeah.
Schaefer, it can't
me.
Be Nelson.
The
that doesn't make
no.
any
on the,
sense.
On the podcast,
no,
want to
I'm
weigh
infallible.
In and just be like, no.
People are speaking about music critically who have a passion for music.
Right.
You find them alienating because
you
don't share their passion.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
That's
it's,
it.
It's
yeah.
the way.
They're not.
I don't like the way they talk about music, therefore it's wrong.
Ah, there it is. So.
Well.
But honestly, this is not a bad thing to bring up because I've had those moments. I've had moments where someone reviews a game.
Right.
And it turns me off to even wanting to play it, which is why I actually really like Zero Punctuation. Because he's mostly just an asshole. And,
yeah, he's
yeah.
great.
And he's great for laughs.
Wait, who?
Zero Punctuation.
Yahtzee Kredshaw.
Yeah.
He does YouTube reviews of
Are
video
you
games.
Speaking English, guys? What?
But
Google it.
But here's the thing about Crash Course that I think has evolved over the years, and we've actually acknowledged that problem. We also used to just listen to the album together for the first time together and then review it.
Right.
And we realized we weren't letting it breathe enough. We weren't giving it enough understanding. Then we started listening to it multiple times before we got together and together. And we feel like we're overexposing ourselves to it. Mm-hmm. So there's this middle ground now where we're trying to find what works best for us. I can listen to music actively while doing other things because I focus in on it in a very different way. I don't often take a lot of notes. I speak mostly from the heart and the head.
Sure.
Steve and John take a lot of notes, but also Steve has got a degree in composition. Like, he plays piano. He knows the notes. He knows the measures. I don't fucking know that shit.
Right.
But what we've tried to do, especially in the last year, is in the wrap-up and at the our year-end special where we go over everything and give booby prizes and actual awards, we change our ratings. We admit that we're not perfect. And some of the bands that we may have overrated or underrated, we change. Like, I gave St. Vincent's record last year, which was fantastic, a 5. And then there was an album that came out towards the end of the year that a fan recommended that was better. And I went, well, fuck. I gave it the other one a 5, and this is better. So I amended it. I said, it's a 4.75. It's almost perfect, but this album was perfect for what I wanted. That artist, by the way, is Owen Paulette, and the album is In Conflict. It was my album of the year for 2014.
Nice. All right. But the thing is, I like that technical concept of your music reviews. I like learning how the sausage gets made. To be honest, I like it. When I'm reading a review about a movie, I don't just want to know about who was a really good actor in it, if the screenwriting was great. I want to know, like, was the cinematography awesome or did it suck? Because I think if you don't take those aspects into account, then you're not really fully experiencing something, you know, where you understand that everything is a moving part to make a whole. And if you don't break that down in a technical way and look at something and go, well, maybe the meter of this song was not as strong as so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to technical jargon everyone, so blah, 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 because I'm the pretty one, not the smart one.
Not shut true. Up.
But no, I think it's really important that if you're going to review something, you review all of something. The all-encompassing way you felt about it, because
but there's also a way of doing that to the point where you're talking so much technical stuff. What am I saying?
I disagree with you.
I'm just gonna disagree over here as well.
I don't think that the Crash Course talks about things too technically. No. I think that your understanding of music is just really pedestrian.
It's just really gonna pepper your
To the point where have told me you don't like music.
Yeah.
You have said those words to me. I don't know why you're listening to a musician and hardcore music enthusiasts are deconstructing music. It's because people like music.
That's like the person listening to us and they don't like comics. Or us.
I'll address what Nelson's saying because it's not actually that far afield, even though he's still wrong.
A victory every time I hear those words.
Happy birthday, Schaefer.
It's one of those things that I understand where you're coming from, and I actually had a friend of mine who said to me, I really like your show, but I can't listen to it because it's 2 hours of you guys deconstructing an album. And I can't focus on it. I said, okay, don't listen. I love you still. You're still my friend. Don't listen. Listen to my other interview show. Yeah. That's way more digestible. If I get that what we do is not for everybody, we're breaking an album down track by track. It's ludicrous. And we're not playing the music, though we are linking the Spotify playlist so you can listen right along with us. The ideal way I envision our audience listening to it, because I don't do it this way because I make the thing, but I imagine they listen, they get to track one, listen to us talk about track one, and listen to track one, and take turns. Or listen to the whole album first, and then go into the show. Like, why would you listen to a movie review before not seeing the movie?
Why? I guess that's another question I have, which is not... Because it's curious to me that you don't actually play any samples of the track, any snippets of the actual track you're talking about, in the actual podcast.
Well, so, that would take more time to do...
Well, and also the podcast
in general, because like you have to like select the clip and edit it.
I get.
But like the way music is so easily accessed, that should not be their job.
I suppose.
No, you don't want a snippet. I like their.
That's like us having to include snippets from Gotham if we're talking about Gotham. It should be the responsibility of the listener.
There's actually a much simpler reason, though.
Well, obviously, it's like
copyright.
Copyright.
Oh, okay.
We can only play like 15 seconds. And we can't describe a four-minute track and play 15 seconds, 30 seconds,
wait,
a minute,
what?
Whatever it is.
I just generally assume that the listening audience is relatively interested and intelligent.
Nope.
Like,
nope, copyright.
That's what, no.
I thought
no.
It was copyright. You, as far as I understand, you can't play someone else's music without their consent. They could come after you. Oh.
I think you can't do it if you are charging money for what you're doing.
Well, we're asking for donations, so...
Yeah, but that's not...
Well,
that's
we aren't.
Not.
Nerdy Show is, so we do whatever the shit we want.
Well, also the reality is this. Oh, when we have guests, we play their music if they're musicians. And I don't want to clutter the show because the show is 2 hours long. If we played the songs too, then it would be 2.5 hours, 3 hours long.
Yeah, I actually like Matt's business model here because... Instead of giving you like,
I'm not saying I don't like it.
Instead of giving you like,
I was asking a question. It was not an opinion.
No. Let me explain. Well,
no, please do because I'm going to hear it anyway.
Your opinion came across a little punchy.
No, it didn't. I asked a question.
You're literally rolling up your sleeves as you're talking.
Because I hate you.
Okay.
He's actually wearing my band's shirt right now. I just want to recognize. I could see. Aww.
I like this idea. I like Crash Course business model because instead of just giving you like a snippet of the music, 10 seconds of
because
the song, and listen to them
talk
about it, they're talking about it while giving you a Spotify playlist so then you can listen to the songs and you can pause the podcast and listen to the songs and then go back and listen to the people talking about it.
Yeah.
You can open two windows. Two tabs in your browser, and you can like toggle back and forth, and maybe like really get in there, and understand, listen to people deconstruct
the
record.
You do realize that
listening to it,
I actually don't have an opinion or a judgment. I'm literally asking a question.
I know you realize that. I literally realize that you are literally doing that, and I'm trolling you.
Mom and Dad are fighting again.
Literally, just gonna point out how many times you guys just said literally, which was a bunch.
I did it to mock him.
What is this? How did this get made? Because that's not this podcast.
Okay.
But on that note, how did this get made is similar in business model to Crash Course, where they talk about a thing, and it is up to you to research this on your own
along.
And then follow along. Or you don't have to. That's what I like. You don't necessarily have to listen to the tracks to enjoy what they're saying, to get the interest out of it. But I appreciate, as a listener to... podcast that someone has created an option for me to find what you are discussing. But mostly, I just like to hear people talk about stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Sure.
I like a lot of things.
But yeah, I mean, I think that what comes down to why we do it every week and why we're so ingrained in it is because for a while... So here's the doom and gloom, the depressing part. So... Get ready.
Oh, no. We have to do
you're
going to
like this.
Yeah. Welcome home, folks.
Now we're back to our
So when I was, and she knows this. We've talked about how we had issues back then. But when I was with my ex, during the time when the podcast first started, I was really depressed. I was living with someone who I was not romantically really involved with anymore. We were just kind of living together. And I was depressed all the time. Mm-hmm. But every Monday, when John and Steve came over, I looked forward to yapping for 2 hours about music. And it really got me through that year. That and a few other things. Like, if it were not for that music that I'd been listening to at the time, I have no problem saying I probably wouldn't be here. I was really struggling.
Yeah.
But I had the podcast, and it made me want to work harder on it. And that's why it got bigger and developed. And now I'm doing two shows because I'm crazy. I have, over the next 2 weeks, 4 interviews scheduled. One on a weekend. So, you know, like you do. But that's why I release them bi-weekly, so I can not have to do more.
You kind of put them in the can, and you can, like, release them slowly.
Like, a lot of the ones that came out over the last 3 or 4 weeks had been months old. But when I do the interviews, I tell the person I'm interviewing that this is going to come out. It's on a bi-weekly schedule, so they know. So they're not like, when can I tell my fans about this? Although some are more eager than others, Sulfur has posted 4 times that he can't wait to share the interview with the audience. He's very sweet.
Sulfur's a good guy.
I adore him. And he did a Ninja Turtles record, which, you know, for me is...
He sure did.
More than enough. I had a conversation with him about how he picked Tribe One to sing on that track with him when they did a track about Bebop and Rocksteady, because he thought Tribe One sounded like Rocksteady.
No, I can see that.
And I went, yes! Yeah. That's brilliant. More about that. Come this past Tuesday. Go listen.
Yeah, so tune into Crash Course for that interview and more.
But I thank you guys for bringing me on here to chat about it, because honestly, listening to your podcast, what I really get about it is, besides knowing you three assholes.
Yes!
And, yes! And finally.
Taking us to task, finally.
I think he's on to us.
And can I tell you that every time you either give me a revelation or make me so angry? Because when you're talking about TV and nerdy stuff that I love, mm-hmm. I'm yelling at the computer like, no, you're wrong or you're right. Yeah. But my favorite moment was about a month ago when Gotham first started, or more than a couple months ago. My time frame is off.
Sure.
Nelson took the nerds to task by saying, if you're picking apart every little thing about the show, you're an idiot. Watch the show. And the night before, we had watched the episode where they incorrectly referred to Poison Ivy by her real name, and I was complaining about it, and I went, oh my God, he's talking to me. I'm an asshole. I need to stop doing that.
No.
And I enjoyed the show a lot better.
Please. Yeah, I was talking exactly to you.
Don't let Nelson be your gold standard of how to live your life.
Well, that was your first problem, Matt. That was your first problem.
Yeah, that was.
No.
Why the fuck do we still do this podcast? Schaefer.
I have no idea.
Because you enjoy talking to each other?
Yeah, that's not it. We can do that
without microphones and headphones.
Yeah.
That's true. Because you know at least two people. Hi, C. Muldrow. I wanted to give you a shout
out.
Yeah!
It's funny. We'll comment on the same posts on Facebook, and I want to send her a friend request, but I don't want to be a creep. But I'm like, I practically feel like I know you.
You have to now.
Here's what you do. This is what I did when I joined the podcast. C. Muldrow, I'd love to be your friend on Facebook. Just say that.
C. Muldrow, I'd love to be your friend on Facebook.
Done.
Here we go.
There.
Welcome.
She's going to stalk you now.
It's going
to
be great.
In that cute sort of Colorado
way. But here,
way.
You know what? Now I'll take you guys to task and explain to you why you should keep doing this podcast. Because as a fan of everyone's work here, your music and burlesque, your magic and your hosting and Schaefer's hosting and music, if you're a fan of someone and they yap, you will listen because you're invested in their work. I have a personal connection to all of your works. I cried the first time I saw your magic show.
Oh, dear.
Schaefer, I've told Schaefer many times, probably to an annoying level, that on certain days, his music gets me through my rough days.
Oh, me
rawr
too.
Still.
Yeah.
I yell it in public places
because
it's so much fun.
Don't is my angry anthem for 2015.
And then Chuck and Mark, they're two of the sweetest people I've ever met, and their record is legitimately hilarious. I listen to a lot of comedy music, but it's actually funny. And I was so excited to be in the music video for It's Raining Dicks because I was a part of something that I enjoy. So that's why you should keep doing the show, because people are actually invested in you, you assholes.
God damn it, Matt.
Fuck.
I'm the voice of reason and
heart.
Well,
no, it's
more
than that.
Well, there goes all the punchlines I had ready.
We had this like diabolical scheme that we were gonna like
pull
make,
the plunger on
that
it,
we were gonna be like make you regret asking to be on this podcast for 2 years by getting on here and just trolling you the whole time. And here you come out and you're like all prepared and you have all these like perfectly packaged, really touching sentiments for all of us. Now I feel like a dick.
Well, luckily, I still love you guys.
Well, I don't. Okay. No. Wait.
Well,
no,
it
I didn't mean that.
Like,
no, that's not what I was.
It
I was
sounded
starting,
like.
I was talking to the voices in my head. No, thank you. I love you too, Matt. But I don't want to troll you, but I do still want to ask you difficult, ugly things.
Yes.
And
do.
I just want to inform you before we ask this that we do have a bleep button.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the worst interview subject you have ever had on your podcast?
Oh, yes.
And you will bleep it out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
We've gone on tirades that have never...
Well, I know. I remember. Yeah. It's funny. The last episode where you guys talked about burlesque and mentioned names.
Yeah.
I know the names you mentioned because I've had issues with those
people,
too.
Yeah, you do.
So
I thought about it. Actually, when I was editing it, I was like... Of our listeners, Matt Storm's probably going to understand what's
who's
underneath that
here.
Bleep.
Yeah.
So
remind me to come back to this when we're
okay.
Done here.
But so the most difficult guests we had because they insisted on not bringing an album, and I adore them as people. They run a blog called their names are and they are expert bloggers. They do show recaps. They're wonderful. They wanted to do a playlist that they built based on the love between Rose and the Doctor. Which, I love building playlists, and I get that. I get creating a narrative in a playlist. And I was all for it, but the problem was...
Wait, sorry. That's a thing? Like, people make playlists based on some,
I have
like,
a bee and
shipping
puppy cat
relationship?
Playlist, and it's the best playlist
I have
ever.
Four playlists
it's
about
so
me and expressing my personality.
Oh.
Well, that's different. Well, that's different.
Dude, I go on Spotify and I'm like, play this.
No, that's different. That's creating a playlist of stuff you want to listen to, right? Because it speaks to you. I'm talking specifically like creating playlists for like a love relationship between Batman and Catwoman. Is that a thing in the world?
A thing. Yeah. If you can make fanfic about that stuff, why couldn't you make a playlist?
It's easier. You just drag and drop. You don't have to type words.
Yes, I guess it just never occurred to me that kind
of thing. To be honest, the penny whistle solo in My Heart Will Go On always makes me think of Batman and Catwoman.
nice pull. They weren't too difficult to interview, but their choice was horribly hard to review because we're reviewing individual tracks that are only connected by this overarching narrative, which I was very familiar with, and Steve was very familiar with, and so was John, because we're all Doctor Who fans.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't an album. There is no arc. There is no theme.
How many tracks?
It was like 18.
Damn.
And so it was a lot. And so Steve pretty much said after that, never again. Which is fine, and honestly, I don't think they're listening to this. And even if they do, they know that I love them, and I've had... They know that this opinion exists. It was just a really difficult show to do because it wasn't part of our framework.
I feel like it's also peppered with their own personal slant about it, and not, here's this cohesive piece of art that we can just talk about in a clinical way, where it was like, no, this song relates to this relationship because there's this line that says this. Because
I would imagine you're talking less about the music and more about the stylistic choice.
Yeah, the emotional pull.
We were still trying to review the music, which is what we do, but it was harder on a song-to-song level.
Yeah.
I will give you the answer that you want, though, of who is the worst interview I ever did, because he will never listen to any of my shows. It was one of the Autographs interviews I did. And the guy meant really well, and I'm a huge fan of his music, and he's had some hard times. It's not anybody you guys know. His name is he's the lead singer of a band called and they've broken up like 3 times, and he's bitter and he's cranky, and I interviewed him, and like there was cursing the government talk, there was buy my music talk, like he had a tirade about torrent culture. He was very sweet to me. He was just very bitter, and I think it's because he's recently coming off of bad habits and going through getting better, and so he's very raw, and he was happy to do the interview because they had a new album out.
Right,
but a lot of it has fallen on him also because he writes 10 songs a day, so he said. Mm-hmm. He has archives of music that may never see the light of day, and he writes all of the music for his band. His band is literally just his live touring band.
Right.
Which was the problem in the past, is he did all the writing, and his band was like, well, what about us? He's like, you can contribute if you want, but I know what I'm doing. And there was conflict, but he also is a talented musician. And so that was the hardest interview to do, because most of the time it was tangents and trying to reel him in.
Right.
And the best ones are when it's a conversation. I mean,
yeah.
Schaefer had to leave early when he was on the show because he was going to a Kayflay concert, which I'm still jealous about.
Oh, that's right.
And so I did a phone interview with him a few days later, and we subbed it in. I've done that a few times. Talking to Schaefer on the phone, I was like, oh, yeah, this is recording. Because we were just bullshitted most of the whole time. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should ask him questions about his stuff.
Why?
Which is kind of my favorite kind of interview. Like Michael Kill, Tribe One. Like, people that I have friendships with, it's like, oh, we're just going to chat about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even when you both were on, Nelson and Chuck, when you guys were on, we'd already had established a friendship, though Nelson likes to deny that he loves me. I know he does.
I don't love you.
He has a hard time expressing that to people.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I hate everybody.
I say I love you.
I gave him a hug and he refused it. It's fine.
I know.
No.
But, he goes, thank
I don't like touching people.
Yes, he does.
But,
just being careful.
But we had wonderful conversations because I had already built up a rapport, and it was a blast to talk to someone you know, because then you can let everyone else know them as well.
Yeah.
Any other hard-hitting questions? I'm excited to hear.
Well, who's like your wish list guest that you probably will never get in a million years, but you would love to interview them?
There are a ton. I mean, it's funny. My favorite musician of all time is kind of nerdy. Nerdy in the fact that he's an older musician. He's been around for a while, but he's not super old classic rock musician. My dream interview of all time, life or death, would be Freddie Mercury, because he's, in my opinion, the best singer to ever live.
Sure.
Good
period.
Choice.
But one of my dream interviews would be interview either Jonathan Davis of Korn, because I've been listening to them since they started, even the shitty albums. And there are quite a few of them. And the other one is a more politically correct, I guess. He's a pop star now. He was an alternative music scene guru in the back in the day. But Rob Thomas, the lead singer of Matchbox 20, is one of my music idols. When I have delusions of grandeur that I can actually sing, which I can't, I like to mimic his style. I grew up listening to a lot of alternative music. Like, my core grouping of music that I listened to growing up in high school was either new metal, like Disturbed, Korn, Godsmack, all that stuff that didn't survive past like 10 years later. Sure. And Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, and Eve 6, these alternative bands that eventually went pop, or, well, mostly they all just went pop. That's where, like, my heart lies. I've discovered so much more since then, and I listen to everything. Although it feels like my adult life has been dominated by hip-hop. I listen to so much rap music now because I realized, oh, as a white nerd, I can listen to rap music and even like it. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I had bad experiences with it growing up where I felt like I couldn't listen to it. I guess it's nobody's fault. Scenes are scenes. I mean, you know, metalheads do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I've, like, most of the time, it's like, it's to the point where when I'm in the car with my fiance, Sarah, even if she doesn't know the song, she knows the artist. Like, she's called Adam Warrock my comfort food band.
Oh!
Because when I can't figure out when I'm scrolling through my iPod and can't figure out what to listen to on my entire library of over 5,000 songs that's on my iPod, I always go to him, and she makes fun of me for it. Yeah.
I'm going to try to get him to adopt that as a tagline, because Adam Warrock is kind of like, can be kind of comfort food for me too.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, me too.
What I like about a lot of nerdcore rappers is they also rap about their shitty personal experiences. Yeah. And they're very relatable. Dr. Awkward does it. Schaefer obviously does it. You know, Adam Warrock, Michael Kill.
Yeah, Tribe One.
Tribe One. Yeah. Have you guys seen the video for Internal Organs? The Shock Attack? I cried. Like, it's so just good. So touching.
It's so freaking good.
I haven't seen it yet.
It just came out last week. It's just Tribe One, like, being a dude on screen and singing from the heart. Aww. And walking around, and there's some black and white cuts.
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. And, like, I like being able to obviously, as I said before, I like really being able to relate to music. And what I really like about a lot of nerdcore rappers is they do a lot of personal stuff. Not all of them do, which is fine also. Yeah. Video games and movies are important too. But yeah, I like being able to relate to it.
Is there a music genre that... Well, it's a two-part question.
Okay.
Is there a particular genre that you just don't like at all?
What is this word? Genre.
Thank you.
I was just like, what is he saying?
Is there a particular genre of music that you don't listen to at all or don't like listening to? And is there something that you were really, really keen on at one point and now, like, you just can't listen to it?
I'm going to tack on another question because I wanted to ask this question. Is there one musical artist that you... if you had the chance just to look at them and be like, retire, please just retire.
Third question, if you could only have one fruit for the rest of your life, what would it be? Go.
Go. Okay.
First of all, the one fruit would be cantaloupe because it's my favorite fruit.
Oh, he answered my question first.
Damn, son.
Okay, anyway, go on.
So, yes, there was a music genre until recently that I didn't listen to at all, and it was country. I just didn't like it.
Right.
But what I like about a lot of modern music is there's a lot of fusion and there's a lot of mix. And also I realized I just needed to listen to other stuff that was... in the vein of country that was better. I never listened to folk either, not because I didn't like it, but because I just didn't really listen to a lot of it.
It has a lot of its roots in that, like, that whole country thing.
And so since I'm marrying someone who plays folk music, in the last year I've listened to a lot of folk music and fell in love with it.
Yo, I'd just like to send a shout out to Sarah Biz right now.
What? S Biz?
What's up? I am going to come see you play. I promise.
All right, go on.
Swear on it.
And so I went back and started listening to some more country, and some of the more modern stuff is actually really good because they're letting other influences bleed in. Mm-hmm. There's an artist I interviewed named Eric Neff, who we also did an album review, and put a quote from Steve's written article about his album in their tagline for their album release, which was amazing, nice. And I've shared everywhere. It quotes Crash Chords, but it's Steve's quote from the article. It says Steve Nagel of Crash Chords, which is amazing. He does this kind of pop country fusion. He even does a really awesome cover of Shout on his record, and it's like he just, by Tears for Fears, Shout.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let it all out. Wow, I sang on the air. That'll never happen again.
Yeah.
So
we got the get, guys. Scoop! We got the get.
Boom, 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 boom.
And I found that I just like good country was what I realized.
Yeah.
A genre I fell out of love with was nu metal and rap rock. I really loved Linkin Park in the early days because they were doing something kind of unique and they were completely opening a vein on every album. But once it became overproduced and prepackaged and Mike Shinoda stopped showing up and Chester Bennington, the other lead singer, the melodic lead singer, started singing on other projects and not giving a shit as much. Their albums tanked, and I just didn't love it as much. Limp Bizkit, I liked unironically their first two records and then liked ironically their third record, and now I just don't like it all. Though I will from time to time listen to Roland because it was the Undertaker's theme when he used to when he was wrestling. Another nerd level. Sorry.
You're fired.
That just took me back to like school days.
You're fired. Get the fuck out.
You're American badass.
Oh, God.
And then who I wish I could tell to retire. That's tough because there are a lot of artists that I feel like.
Is that Chuck's question?
Yeah, that's my question.
Who could retire?
Yeah. If you could just be like, nah, just retire. Just
honestly, stop making music.
There's one band that really disappointed me because they were so talented that I might say it too, and they've not even been around a long time. I love The Killers since they started.
Oh, yeah.
And their most recent record was atrocious. So atrocious that when John was writing up the review at my apartment, because we were hanging out and he was listening to it and writing it up, it's a written review on the website, I asked four times, is this the same song? It had been 30 minutes. So.
Wow. Also, I'm mad because they never answered the question if we are human or if we are dancer.
It was a bummer because I like their music and I think they're really talented, but their third album was, or fourth album, I lost count, was a glorified arena rock album, and I don't need that. I already have AC/DC and they'll do it better than they ever will.
True. Yeah, I'm sorry, just Jock Jams. So, that's it.
So
we're done with that, Jock Jams.
So
we don't need any more innovation on that front.
And I'd probably also say it to this band that's parading around as Queen with other singers. I'm sorry. I have a rant that you can't call yourself Queen without Freddie Mercury because I love Brian May and I love the rest of the band, but that voice is uncomparable to anything else and he's the defining member of Queen.
Wait. Didn't they like hire like an American Idol contestant
yes.
to like sing with them?
I was enraged.
Wait.
The surviving members of Queen
are still doing Queen.
Yes.
Yes. And they toured with another singer. I was angry because Freddie Mercury is my
Adam Lambert.
I guess I mean
is that his name?
I think so. I know. It sounds familiar.
I guess I'm not angry because I mean ultimately they're a business now. You know what I mean?
If Steam Powered Giraffe toured with all new members and the spine was gone, would you still be happy about it?
Well, it's not.
Claim themselves to be Steam Powered Giraffe.
Well, then they're just a cover band, and I don't mind cover bands.
Oh God,
you know.
I remember in the early 2000s, the surviving members of The Doors went on tour, and they took Ian Astbury from The Cult as their vocalist.
They dug him out of a grave.
He seriously went on stage every night and didn't just like sing Jim Morrison's parts, but like put on like a Jim Morrison costume.
What?
Oh God, it hurt. I remember seeing the press photos and just being so embarrassed for every single person involved. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of bands out there like you know, Glaslight and the Pips, like. You know, are still touring because they're still surviving Pips.
But that's, you know? That's different, and here's how it's different. And okay. I'll get a little nerdy on you.
Go for it.
Because it's what I do.
Right.
With Queen, they're still claiming to be Queen and not putting out new music. They're just playing the old stuff with a new singer. Bands like Alice in Chains, who I love, and is also grunge is one of my favorite genres too, except Nirvana. Fuck Nirvana, they're overrated. I said it.
Boom, internets. Huh. Boom.
How about that?
Take that, Kurt Cobain.
How about that?
And I just probably made a lot of not friends. But anyway.
Who cares? Alice, this podcast is not about
nobody listens
friends.
To this anyway.
Alice in Chains, their lead singer, Lane Steele, died. Drug overdose.
Yeah.
And they have a new guy whose name I'm blanking on who came on and they just made more music. His style is similar to Lane Steele's because that's the kind of band it was. But they made new interesting music together. And that, like, if you want to still call yourself Alice in Chains, do something. Don't call yourself the same band and just stagnate in your hits.
Oh, you know who's a great example of doing the thing that you would prefer in that scenario? AC/DC, who you just referenced.
Yes.
Like, they have half, not even half their catalog, like a third of their catalog with Bon Scott, and then he died. And the next consecutive year, they got a super fan named Brian Johnson to be their singer, and he's the guy who has done, like, the lion's share of AC/DC,
most of the known hits were his. Yeah.
So, essentially, the lesson is, musicians,
don't die.
No, that's not no.
That too, because if Freddie Mercury were alive today, music would be completely different.
Take your heroin and wait. I don't know. What's the point you're trying to make?
Well, number one, please don't put words in my mouth.
Too late.
Number two, I'm just saying, if you want to continue with a particular brand, innovate that brand.
Yep.
Don't just rest on your laurels.
How is that?
The fact that, like, his Matt's problem with the new queen is that they're not making any new queen songs. They're just sitting on the cash cow that is
How is that any different than, like, you know, Glass9 and the Pips, where there's like one surviving Pip doing...
Because the Pips don't matter. It's Gladys Knight. You can't have Gladys Knight and the Pips without the Gladys Knight. You can have a whole bunch of Pips. Name a Pip.
Name a Pip.
I can't name any.
Name another member. The internet will start screaming at their computers right now. Because they can do this and you can't.
Right.
Name another member of Queen or the Doors.
I can't.
See, you can't do that.
No.
No.
But you need.
But the thing is, like, if you're going to pin your brand to a face.
Right.
Or a name.
Right.
And that face or name is no longer a part of it, you have to innovate your brand.
Yes.
It works even when they don't die. I mean, U2 is stagnated. We reviewed one of their albums last year and we crapped all over it because the one innovative song was the only innovative song.
I heard a rumor that that Bono's going to just quit music.
We can only hope.
The best thing U2 has done in the past 10 years is that show in Times Square where Bruce Springsteen sang with them.
That was it.
Yep.
That was it. Yeah, they even made a crappy musical that nobody liked, and that almost got actors killed.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Bono and The Edge wrote the music for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
I wanted
to see, to make fun of, and no one would go spend $40 to troll it.
I sometimes get sad about the number of Spider-Man things that I have to pretend don't exist in order to keep loving Spider-Man.
That's a challenging fandom, Chuck.
I'm looking at you, Spider-Man 3. Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man... Stop making shitty Spider-Man things, or else I'm going to have to stop liking Spider-Man.
Read Ultimate Spider-Man. It reinvigorated me.
It's so good. It's so
good. That comic reinvigorated me.
Yes.
I've run out of questions. What do you got?
I'm thoroughly satisfied.
Have you had a good time?
Yes. This has been amazing. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
You're a good guest. You're a good guest because... You did the bulk of our work for us. See, here's the thing. You know how to interview guests. We don't. And now three of us interviewing at you at once, that doesn't, like, we don't morph and, like, turn into, like, Captain Planet or something.
We're not,
like,
the Voltron of interviews.
No. We're not good.
You don't form the head.
The opposite.
We know what our skill sets are, and it's all of the things that we do outside of this podcast. So we aren't good at interviewing guests. And you are a great interviewer, so that was a challenge, and you did most of our work by just...
So, folks, if you're listening to this and you're not listening to Crash Chords, you are doing yourself a great disservice. It's crashchords.com, correct?
Yeah.
And it's also on iTunes as well?
I recently, because I'm a dummy, connected the web posts to iTunes in the posts.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago. But we've been on iTunes for years, but so I couldn't figure out how to link it on the website.
So there's 3 years of back catalog that they can all go back and listen to.
Yep. Our 3-year anniversary will be this July.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So check it out. Crash Chords and Crash Chords Autograph.
Yes.
And also the site has a lot of wonderful written content as well. So check it out.
If you want to go back in time, one of my first in-person interviews that I typed up and took forever was with Schaefer the Dark Lord.
That was many years ago. We sat down at an Irish-American pub on Wall Street.
They've been on your podcast more than once?
No, I've been on the podcast once, but I was interviewed for the blog.
I wrote up
before the podcast started.
I had to take 2 hours of yapping and turn it into a written interview.
Come back.
I'm saying on the show officially, I want to have you all back on this year if possible. I was going to have Nelson on and then he canceled last minute, but I'm not going to call him out on the show. Oh, wait, I just did. It's fine. He admitted it.
See, this is why I hate you.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, don't blame him that you're a giant flake. Come on.
No, that was back when I was in the hospital
with
hospital related things.
God. It was.
Cancer.
Oh, wow.
You didn't have lung cancer.
Yeah.
Ball sacks don't make noise. Sorry, hold on.
No.
Cancer.
That's wrong.
I'm bleeping that out.
But no, you're not.
But I would love to have you all back on. I, of course, would love to have Afterbirth Monkey together, but I'd like to have you on solo to talk about burlesque and your burlesque shows and your other shows that you do without Afterbirth Monkey.
I'm a giant hyphenate, guys.
True.
You are a giant hyphenate.
All right. So any big things that are coming up for Crash Course that you want to plug?
We have a bunch of really great interviews coming up on Autographs, as I think I mentioned earlier, but in case I didn't, because I don't remember. Beefy is going to be on the show.
Oh, Beefy! Love Beefy.
I'm stoked to have on. I loved his new record that came out last year. an artist named Shy Boy. He was the lead singer of a band called Hypnogaja that's since kind of been on hiatus, but he has a bunch of solo work. His last two albums both were about space or related to space. He kind of does this ethereal love rock and emotional stuff.
Oh, I mean, I need to check that out.
And his newest album is called Lost in Space. He'll be on. Adam Warrock, I'm finally getting on.
Nice.
Scheduling issues, and he'd had a really busy end of the last year, so he's finally coming on the show. As I mentioned, Sulfur will be out by the time this goes up, and I plan to try and start doing some more in-person ones as well. As far as big interviews on the main show, we're having Kita St. Cyr. It's out now. Go listen. She's awesome.
It's out right now. Go get it.
She's so snuggly.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We're having a gentleman named Painless Parker. He plays in the Wasties with my fiance in that band, as well as solo. He does a very awesome steampunk act, and he does great, great music. He's a mandolin player. Robert, who is the guitarist from the Wasties, also has a solo prog rock career in a band called The Rose West. He's coming on as well this year. And Anders of the Waystation, I'm hoping to have on this year, because I've been chasing to get him on, and he's a flake.
That is a lot of gets. Holy crap.
So
who do we have on our show in the future? We don't
Can I come back?
Yes.
We're going to answer some fan questions next month. We got nothing.
I heard you got a great one from one guy.
We did. And I'm
I have a great interview subject, a great guest lined up, but I'm just waiting until we can legally have her.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I know who it is?
Yeah. We'll talk when I stop.
Oh.
We can't have her yet legally, but I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Oh, that was creepy. I don't want to.
That was a little creepy.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about having you as a guest on our program.
Yes.
She's delightful and very intelligent.
You can have hugs from me.
Last question, Matt Storm. In regards to the Epic Podcast, fuck, marry, kill. Go. Don't answer that.
Answer that.
No.
We'll bleep all the names. Go.
No. Well, it doesn't matter. The people in the room are here.
Yeah, you can't.
Bleeping the names
fair.
Won't matter. You can't bleep them from
that's
life.
That's
not fair. That's... fuck. Now
you'll just have to wonder.
Now I need to know. All right. Well, I guess that's it. I guess we're out. Thank you so much, Matt Storm.
My pleasure.
Matt Storm from Crash Course. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Epic Podcast.
Let's have him again.
Once again, we would like to thank Matt Storm of Crash Chords for being our guest on the program this month.
I just loved that. That was invigorating. It was a good way to start 2015, real.
I'm happy he's not here so I can finally just admit that he's a great guy and I like hanging out with him. And he's a genuinely nice person.
You were kind of crotchety to him while he was here. Now that he's gone, you can be nice to him?
Yeah.
You have so many issues.
I need to maintain my street cred.
No.
You don't know what those words mean.
I know what they mean individually.
I'm just going to take a time out. Can I just bring it back real quick and just say I texted Christy B while we were recording and she loves us too.
Oh, Christy B.
Yeah.
Shout out to Christy B.
Are we going to do Christy B shout outs now every damn show?
This one.
All right.
Maybe the next one. We don't know.
All right. So let's talk. Let's wrap this up. We've been talking too long. What are you plugging? What shows you got coming up? Chuck, go.
Me? Oh, God. Okay.
You're going to let Chuck go first?
Because she's got 30 days worth of stuff to talk about.
Fair enough.
But then everyone's going to be asleep by the time you guys are plugging stuff.
Yeah, but then I'm going to be like, I'm going to eat a sandwich tomorrow. All right, sorry. Man. Go on.
So this evening, if you're listening to this in the morning, I am...
That is Thursday, January 29th.
I am going to be at the Excelsior Best Of show that got rescheduled to tonight... I'm doing Basil Fawlty, so watch me be an angry British man and throw my pants around. It's weird. On February 1st is another Raunchy and Risqué, which is the comedy show that I am a part of that has burlesque in it. Hopefully I won't murder any comics like I want to most of the time. On February 6th, it is my best friend Sherry Cole's birthday. Wish her joy. On the 11th of February, I will be the kitten for Livin' La Vida Chola, which is being produced.
What the fuck?
Yes, it's a burlesque show being produced by Waymess and Ginger Twist and Corvette LaFace. It will be the premiere of my alter ego,
Jesus,
Jalapeno Business. Deal with it.
Oh my God, that is problematic on so many levels. I can't even begin. Wow. All right. Keep going. Let's get through this.
I know. I look at it and I cry a little. On the 12th, I will be hosting a brand new show called Bells and Whistles, which is being produced by Lefty Lucy. It's going to be at Pangea. Watch me do the thing I like to do most, which is make mouth sounds into microphones. February 15th is another raunchy risque. That one's going to be filmed. So if y'all could come out and like support, we're going to do a scissor reel. So please, please come out. I promise it's going to be a really good one. On the 21st, I will be in Kingston, New York as a part of Excelsior Burlesque's Trek Burlesque. Then I will be at Bells and Whistles again on February 25th. And then on the 28th, which is the last day of the month, I will be in Philadelphia as part of the They Might Be Giants Weird Al Yankovic burlesque crossover called They Might Be Weird. I may or may not be using the They Might Be Giants songs bangs because I have bangs. And that's what I have.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a lot.
I know. I hope I did it fast enough.
You did a good job.
The one and only thing I'm going to be plugging is my show, Gathering the Magic, opening on January 30th and having 9 performances that culminate on February 15th. Go to nelsonlugo.com for information. You can also go to thetank.org for the actual venue information, because my show is part of their flagship theater series called Flint and Tinder. So if you're in New York or any of the surrounding areas are going to be in town, come to Gathering the Magic.
On Saturday, January 31st, I will be hosting the Pink Room Burlesque's 4th annual Miss Twin Peaks pageant at Joe's Pub in NYC. This is Francine the Lucid Dreams ongoing show, and every year there's a Miss Twin Peaks pageant. I will be hosting this show as 2 beloved characters from Twin Peaks. On Saturday, February 7th, I am going to open for Nelson Lugo's Gathering the Magic at the Tank Theater. I am going to do some material that he will probably wish I won't do.
Like what?
I don't know. I just asked you during the break if I could do all of my most offensive material, and you asked me to play it a little more safe. So
did I?
No, let's pretend you did, though.
Okay.
Okay. On Tuesday, February 24th, I will be appearing in Rabbit Hole Productions' Let's Talk About Sex at the Parkside Lounge, where I will be debuting a brand new song. And it's real, real, real filthy. And that's it. I'm just going to keep growing a beard and get fat.
You'll do one of those
two things.
I'm
trying to do both.
I don't know if you've noticed. I'm at like the rising action of my storyline. They're sort of in the denouement. You can cut that out if you want. I just, that was that observation I made.
Folks, next month is Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Yes.
So important. We would like to revisit an episode we abandoned months ago when we asked you to send in your love and sex advice questions.
It's not that we abandoned it, more that we just...
We moved it. We rescheduled it.
We relocated it.
We relocated it because we didn't get enough results. Now, if you sent questions back a couple of months ago, love and sex advice questions, not career advice questions.
or dick pics.
Or dick pics. If you have questions that you would like us to answer about your relationship or sexual practices or love and romance or... If you want to ask questions we're not qualified to answer about these things,
yep,
please send them to us at epicpodcast@gmail.com. If you sent us questions months ago, we are going to read those.
We promise.
Yes.
But we need you to send us more so that we have an episode's worth of material next month.
Otherwise, it's just going to be us rapping.
Yeah, please think of it this way. If you send us a question, it's like you're our guest.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
And if you don't send us questions... Lugo is going to ask the two of us questions that are going to sound ridiculous and are actually going to be sincere.
Yeah.
Don't do that to us. Ugh. Let us not help you instead of helping him.
Let us keep up our facades and our superficial friendships over here. Come on. Thank you.
And on that, I'm going to say this has been the Epic Podcast, episode 29. I've been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I've been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And I have been your other host, Charles Stunning.
Be safe, internets.
Did you know the first written recipe found in the world was from Mesopotamia and it was for beer.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast.
We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Epic Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
Hey, listen to this.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this break.
Wait, I'm sorry. I actually want to hear.
Okay, what?
I feel like I'm the only actual person who just got punished with that moment.
Oh, because you're wearing...
I am wearing headphones. So I think you were out to punish the wrong person. Because I just...
That was his pterodactyl scream.
Sorry, Chuck and both of our listeners. I made a poor choice.